50 years ago, in 1961, Dwight D. Eisenhower warned of the negative effects of a military-industrial complex, an idea that's rarely questioned or even discussed in the media today. Let's take a listen to what he said.
We must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
So was it a prophecy, and will things ever change in regards to the defense industry and what some dub perpetual warfare? Well, for more, author of this book right here, The Family of Secrets, The Bush Dynasty, Russ Baker is talking to us from New York City. Russ, good to see you. So, you know, the perspective that Eisenhower seemed to warn against is this idea of quote-unquote military metaphysics, which basically paints the picture that international reality is basically military. Do you think that this kind of thinking shapes foreign policy in the U.S. today?
I don't know if the thinking shapes it, but it reflects the reality. And in fact, 50 years later, things are only much, much worse than the way that Eisenhower characterized it. And it's so interesting that he himself was a heroic military figure from World War II. What we see today is what I would call a military, industrial, intelligence, oil, media complex. It's much broader, it's much more pervasive, and now we also have this whole new area called Homeland Security, an ill-defined but vast area that keeps takes tremendous amounts of money from the American taxpayer and also keeps us in a state of sort of low-grade panic all the time. So I think things are much, much worse. And by the way, today also is Martin Luther King Day, where we're honoring an individual who played a very important role in this country in fostering a very different set of values. He, of course, was assassinated by what was described as a lone nut. This is the 50th anniversary of the inauguration of John F. Kennedy, assassinated by what was described as a lone nut. They also tried to tie that to blame the Soviet Union and Cuba for that, and we have this this past week a number of very strange deaths of figures associated with the federal government: a congresswoman, a Democratic congresswoman, a former Pentagon official found in a trash dumpster in Delaware, a woman whose husband is top person in the Obama administration was found in her burned-out car in her garage. These are very, very troubling times. And we don't have the kind of transparency we need. We don't have any grip on this complex. We have very little understanding of how it works. And all the records remain, most of them remain classified under lock and key, so we can't figure out what went on and what's going on today.
So you're saying a lot of different entities involved, a lot of similar interests. And it's interesting that you mentioned Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., because an Obama administration official recently came out and sort of used Dr. King's legacy to say that he would actually understand the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. So I think that was pretty interesting. But, Russ, the other question that comes up is one of perpetual warfare and whether or not anything will change in that regard. Because, you know, Eisenhower himself said, quote, "This conjunction of an immense military establishment and a large arms industry is new in the American experience." It was then. He said the total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, is felt in every city, every state house, every office of the federal government. This is probably true now more than ever when you have members of Congress investing in defense contracting companies, right? This revolving door between retired generals and the Pentagon and the defense industry. So can anything really change, again, in regards to that, considering all of this?
It can't change until the dialogue changes, and I hold the media in this country largely responsible for not being able to break us out of this cycle. We can't even discuss these things. And for example, how ironic that the first president of the United States, who was African American, happens to be someone who kept as his defense secretary Robert Gates, who had been the CIA director under the first Bush president and defense secretary under the second. We see these kind of continuities, these inevitabilities, these inabilities to break out of this. Even a man like Obama, who was presented as a great reformer, finds himself unable to really do anything substantively about this cycle of doom and destruction.
And, you know, you mentioned earlier that, you know, Eisenhower was a decorated general. So let's say, hypothetically, that General David Petraeus decides to run in 2012, gets the Republican nod, wins the presidency. Could he, like perhaps before him, be the only person to basically say, we have to look at this issue, we have to make drastic cuts? Or is the system too out of control as it is that even he couldn't do it?
Well, as you know from my book, Family of Secrets, there's a whole untold history of how people even become president, how they are drafted as candidates, who puts the big money into them. A person like Petraeus would be there primarily because of the attraction of his celebrity to the public. It's sort of interesting that, military, again, is considered to be a proper indice of leadership. But certainly, he would have behind him the same exact interest of financial banking interest, a large industrial interests that benefit so much from this state of perpetual war. This is the largest industry this country has ever known. It's the gravy train, and they're not going to get off of it anytime soon without something drastic. I don't think there's any chance that a military man like Petraeus put into the presidential race would possibly buck that establishment.
And it's very interesting because earlier you mentioned media coverage, and even when Eisenhower warned against the military-industrial complex, there wasn't a lot of media coverage surrounding that issue as well. So it's very interesting to see that trend sort of follow through, as you say, to today. Russ Baker, thank you so much for your time today and, of course, your analysis. He's the author of the book, The Family of Secrets, The Bush Dynasty. Thanks, Russ.